Good morning. We welcome you to the service for Barbies Grove Baptist Church this morning on the 17th of January. We're so glad that you're joining us, whether you're joining us by radio in the parking lot or perhaps at your home if you live very close, or whether you're listening to the website. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. We pray that this might be an experience when God speaks to your heart. He knows your needs. He knows your situations. And may He speak to you today in a very special way. May we pray. Father, we bow before You this morning. And we enter into Your presence through the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And Father, today as we come to worship, we come to worship Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth. We want to tell You we love You. And we honor You. We glorify You. We welcome You to be Lord over this service. May You say those things that we need to hear. And may You receive our honor and our praise. Father, may those that are participating, no matter where they might be, join in worship and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In His name we pray, amen. Now, Brother Leonard's away today, spending some much-needed time with some family. And so that leaves me to make the announcements and everything. But before I get into the announcements, I want to have a beautiful song. This one was recorded by a choir several months ago. Back when we were in the church and had choir up here on the platform. And so we are going to enjoy worship together with our choir. And I just happen to think those of you that are in the choir might see if you can just pick out your voice as we sing and as we worship together. Those of you that know the song, join along as the choir sings. It will be worth it all.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Appreciate sharing and can't wait till we get the choir back up here in person once again, enjoying the beautiful music that they produce. As I said, Brother Leonard's taking some good time with his family. And so for our announcements today, our worship services will continue 10 o'clock, 99.1 in the parking lot. And after about 12:30 on the webcast, we invite you to come and be a part. I know that there's several out in the parking lot this morning, and we invite you to come and be a part of that, and maybe even listen again. I hear myself preach while I preach, and then I go home and listen, and I say, did I say that? Did I really say that? So it's interesting to hear it twice. I hope that all of you have had a chance to look at your newsletters and have looked at the marvelous way the Lord used you as the members of Barbie's Grove in missions this past year. It's just amazing as you look at those figures and see how many people you blessed, how many needy, hurting folks that you gave a helping hand to through your mission gifts. We appreciate that. And I know, as we say in the newsletter, the Lord notices, and there'll be a reward that will come to Barbie's Grove because you care about people that are hurting. Another announcement, our third quarter conference should have been today, but we'll postpone that until we can get back together. And if you have any questions about anything that's going on, check with your deacon, and he can give you an answer, or call the other deacons and get an answer for you about our situations. As far as I know, that's all of the announcements for today. Let's turn to our prayer list. Pat Burgess has been moved to Bethany Woods in Raleigh. So she's a long way from home, so remember Pat. Eva Ann's brother-in-law, Bobby Eford, passed away. So remember that family. Pray for my wife, Pam's sister, Jill. Some of you may have gone to school with Jill over at West Stanley. Jill's husband, David, has COVID. And at the same time, Jill has been keeping her mother-in-law for several years. And her mother-in-law passed away last night around 5:30. So keep that family in your prayers. We'd appreciate that. Angie Barbie's dad, Mr. Howard, we pray that you'll pray, continue to pray and lift him up. Jackson Keplinger, who has surgery on his eyes on February the 5th. And then Ken and Rita's sister-in-law, Tish Linker, want to remember her. And then pray for our nation. Please pray for our nation. It's been contentious in the last few weeks. And this week with the inauguration, it may be even more contentious. And that's not good. And remember, from the Bible tells us, first of all, pray for the kings and those in authority. Doesn't say when you get around to it. It doesn't say if you like them. Doesn't say if you favor their policies. It says pray for them. We can pray for people we don't like, or people we may not have voted for, but we can still pray for them. If you notice in the Bible, God changed the minds of people that were believers and non-believers. God directed in those who were believers and who were non-believers. So be praying, especially for our nation this week. That's the end of my prayer request that we have. So let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you, we know that you know each of these people and their needs. We pray for Pat. We lift her up to you. We pray for the Eva Ann's brother-in-law's family, the Eford family. Lord, it's always difficult when someone passes away, and so we pray for them. We pray for Pam's sister's family and both the COVID and in the death of a special part of that family. We pray for Angie and her dad and the rest of that family. Lord, we know it's been a difficult year because of the death of his wife, and we just lift him up to you today, that you touch him in a way and just bring him peace and comfort. We pray for Jackson as he faces some surgery on his eyes. We pray, Father, the peace. We pray for calmness. We pray for a successful surgery. And Father, we pray for Tish Linker. You know the situation there. We just lift her up to you that you might minister to her and the needs that she has and that her family has. And then, Father, we do pray for our nation. We pray for those who are in office at this moment. We pray for those that will be in office by the end of this week. Lord, there's so much going on. We pray for peace. We pray for calmness. We pray for cooler heads to prevail. Father, we pray that those that are in positions of authority that know you might listen to you and be obedient to you. We pray for those that don't know you to be touched by something that they read or hear and give their hearts and lives to you. Father, we pray for, we humble ourselves and just say, God, forgive us for the messes we've made, the sins we've committed. And Father, we pray that this nation might experience the greatest revival, the greatest move of God that we've ever had. Lord, we know that you've done it in the past. Do it again in our generation. Father, without you, we're nothing. We know that this nation was established by many people who came to worship you and to honor you and to glorify you. We know that you've used this nation to send missionaries around the world to spread the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that your hand will come upon this nation in a wonderful way to bring about that which would honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, for our special time of praise and worship, I want to listen to a solo that Miss Gail Perkins sang. She blessed us with this several months ago, and we want to hear it again and be blessed again as Miss Gail leads us in worship.
Like I give you hearts to see.
Once again, we've been blessed as we've worshiped together in music. You know, Barbie's Grove's blessed to have several ladies and several men that can stand and give us a blessing in music when we can't have the whole choir together. We appreciate their efforts every time that they bless us. This morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 and look at one of the better known stories in the New Testament. It's the story of Peter walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth night of the watch, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out with fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now Peter is actually walking on water. Now we don't know whether he took 5 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps, but Peter is actually walking on water. He's on his way to Jesus. And suddenly, Peter becomes aware. Hey, the wind's blowing and the waves are rolling. And I can't walk on water. And he begins to sink. Now, what was Peter's problem? He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to look at the circumstances, the winds, and the waves. He began to think about the impossibility of walking on water. Peter lost faith in the word that Jesus spoke. Jesus didn't say but one word, "Come." But on that one word was all of the faith that Peter needed, all of the instruction that he needed. He could have walked for a mile on the water with just that one word. But Peter lost faith in what Jesus had told him to do. He lost his focus. He began to get his eyes off of Jesus, off of his goal, and he began to sink. You realize that every one of us face that same situation every day we live. Now, our deal isn't walking on actual water, but our deal is living our lives in a world that's full of turmoil, and yet living with confidence, with assurance, with faith, and living in peace. You know, so many today are stressed, fearful, anxious. And you realize Jesus told us that that's the way it was going to be. In the book of Luke, in chapter 21, verse 20, he says, no, not 20, 26, Luke 21, 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I understand from the things I hear that alcoholism is up, drug abuse is up, suicides are up, anxiety, fears, all kinds of things are up because of all that's going on in our world today. The pandemic, the riots, the political situation, the financial situation, physical and relationship messes. And it's so easy to lose our confidence, to lose our faith, to lose our peace. And I got to thinking this week about the difference between a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and that person that doesn't know Jesus. Think about going out onto your porch and there's a dense fog has moved in. A dense fog. And you can't hardly see 20 feet in front of you. And yet, right in the middle, there's a bright light. That's the way it is with the Christian. He's facing a dense fog of problems and troubles, but right in front of him is Jesus, the light of the world. And as long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he sees light. Now, the unsaved person, he looks out there and there is no light. All he sees is the fog. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a believer in Jesus? And there's a light in the midst of the fog, in the midst of the darkness. And if you're listening to me this today and you're not a Christian, not a believer in Jesus, and you face a life that's full of darkness and fog and a lack of clarity, you can give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge Him as your Savior and as your Lord, the risen Son of God, the one who died to take away your sin. And that light can come into the midst of your darkness and your fog. Now, all of the situations that we talk about that are in our world today, are they real? We don't deny them. We don't try to hide from them. They're real. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to be all right. Well, now you say, well, now, preacher, it's easy to just make that statement. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How do I do that? How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? Let me suggest some practical things that will be a blessing to you, I think. In the book of Proverbs, verse 20, chapter 26, verse 20, where there no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Well, all of us that grew up in the country know that if you don't put some wood in the stove or the fireplace, sooner or later the fire is going to die out. How much wood are you putting in the fireplace of your anxieties? I think back years ago when my wife was still working in the schools, and we'd get up about 5:30 every morning, get ready for her getting ready for school, me getting ready to go to the church office. And first thing you do, you flip on the TV. From 5:30 in the morning till we left around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, all we heard was the news. When I came in at lunch and was going to have my banana sandwich, I ate it with the TV going. If anything special was going on, I might have watched longer than just lunchtime. We came in at supper time, flipped on the TV and watched the news. It's amazing how many people keep putting wood on the fire of their anxiety. Hour after hour after hour of TV news. Back then I took 3 newspapers and read them all religiously. Keep putting wood on the fires of our anxieties. One of the ways to keep our eyes on Jesus is take our eyes off of all the circumstances. Peter looked at the winds and the waves instead of Jesus. And sometimes we spend so much time looking at all the bad news that we forget who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I look at the news for a few moments to find out just the trends or what's going on, but not enough to saturate my mind with it so that I lie awake at night wondering, fretting, anxious. Where there's no wood, there's no fire. The beginning point of peace is to take our time and use it more wisely than feeding our minds with all the anxious thoughts. The second way to do this is found in the book of Psalms, the walk in peace. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need for God's words to light our path. Be full of God's word. Fill yourself with God's word. Learn the promises of God. Know your rights and your privileges as a child of God. If God said it, if God promised it, then it's doable. You see, Jesus said to Peter, one word, come. And suddenly walking in water was doable. So you have a Bible full of words and promises that are doable because God said them. And whenever Satan tempts you, hit him with God's word. Hit him with God's word. Now you remember, Satan tempted Jesus. And if Jesus had responded by saying, listen, buddy, I'm the Son of God, leave me alone, then we wouldn't have had any hope. Because we weren't the Son of God in the way Jesus is the Son of God. We'd have just said, well, that was him and we've got to make it the best we can. But Jesus didn't do it that way. Jesus hit Satan with the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And every time he defeated Satan with it is written. And that's the way you and I defeat Satan. When Satan comes to us with fears and temptations, it is written. It is written. And as we hit Satan with those words, then Satan has to flee. Now, I don't know about your life. I know my life is such that sometimes I have to repeat those words, those scriptures. I have to repeat them. It's like I say, Satan, it is written. And he starts to walk off and he gets, 4 or 5 feet away and he turns and says, are you sure you want to get rid of me? Are you sure you don't want to indulge in this temptation? Are you sure you don't want to fret and worry over this a little while? And I say, it is written. And he goes on down maybe another 10 or 15 feet and he turns around and says, Are you sure, really sure? And I have to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. And he leaves. I mean, he will test you. He will make sure that you're sincere. But he cannot stand against it is written. You say, well, Brother Ed, what are some of those scriptures that you use? I've got several that I'm going to, and these aren't all of them. These are just a few. The first one is in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37. And before that, Paul talks about all kinds of things that might try to condemn us and things that might separate us from the love of Christ. And he mentions tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all kinds of things that you and I might be facing today. And then he says in verse 37, Romans 8, 37, nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. In everything we are more than a conqueror. And then he goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, you need to remember. You need to remember when difficult times come that you are more than a conqueror because Jesus lives in you. Because Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And that nothing is going to separate you from His love. Nothing is going to separate you from His love. No matter what comes, what goes, Jesus is going to keep right on loving you. You say, well, Ed, I've messed up a few times. Well, He still loves you. He loves you. He loved you before you were saved. And He's going to keep right on loving you. Keep right on loving you. You are more than a conqueror. You get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm more than a conqueror because Jesus lives big in me today. Another verse that's good to remind us, book of Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In that verse, he says, there's people that are witnessing. There are people in heaven that are witnessing to us. In other words, their lives said, we went through difficult times, but we made it. And the Holy Spirit would say to us, if they made it, we can. If they made it, we can. And there are people in heaven that are cheering you on as you walk in faith with your eyes on Jesus. And then in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, he began it and he's going to bring it to completion. I love that other verse that says, he that has begun a good work in you will continue to do it until Jesus comes. That's a Ed Lyter paraphrase. Jesus began a work in you when he called you to salvation. And whether you got saved in a cornfield or in a Brush Arbor meeting or under a tent or whether you walked the aisle in some church, when you got saved, Jesus began a good work in you. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, will continue that work until you step into glory. Be confident of that. Be confident of that. Another wonderful scripture to remember is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. Well, go back to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think about that. We look around and we see all the temporal things, the things that we can see, this trouble and that problem, this other problem. But think about the things you can't see with your physical eyes, the glories of heaven, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And most of us don't get to see Jesus. I know some folks have visions and encounters with the risen Jesus, but most of us don't. But they're real. And we keep our eyes on the finish line. You think about that person that's running a marathon. When he or she starts out, it's 26 miles plus. And as they run that marathon, they may be on some uphill terrain, downhill terrain, good paths and bad paths, but their eyes are not on where they're running. Oh, they have to keep an eye to be careful where they run, but their eyes are on the goal at the end of that marathon. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the ultimate goal. Another good scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, and your disobedience is fulfilled. He said, we've got some mighty weapons to pull down strongholds. You see, the devil likes to put strongholds in your mind, my mind. Fear, doubt, lust, greed, hate, unforgiveness. And if we allow that, the devil can take control of our lives. But, as Paul tells us, we as believers in Jesus Christ have mighty weapons. They can pull down those strongholds, tear them down, make rubbish out of them, and live free. Live free. Let's look at two others. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I just always blessed by these two verses. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Oh, folks, look at that. Look at that. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. And how did we cast him down? How did we overcome him? The blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and a commitment that no matter what, living or dying, we're going to follow Jesus. Folks, the blood of Jesus is powerful. Our testimony standing on the word of God is powerful. And the devil cannot win when that is our testimony. And one last scripture in the book of John, in chapter 16, and verse 33. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now what did Jesus say? I'm telling you these things so that in him, in me, he says, in Jesus, we could have peace. And then he goes on to say, in the world you shall have tribulation. Now wait a minute, I wish he hadn't have said that. He just told us I could have peace, and then he turns right around and says that in the world we're going to have tribulation. Well, which is it, Lord? Peace or tribulation? Both. Because he goes on to say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Christ in us, and us in Christ, and he has overcome the world, so in him we overcome the world, and so we can be of good cheer and live in peace. Folks, that's his wonderful promise to us. There's going to be fog and mist and darkness around, but Jesus is the light. And in him we are walking in the light. And he overcomes and has overcome and will always overcome. And even now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And in Jesus we overcome. Our goal is to keep our focus, to keep our focus on Jesus, keep our focus on who we are in Jesus, keep our focus on him as our Lord, our Savior, keep our eyes on him. And when we do that, we can walk on water. Not in a literal physical sense, but in the sense that our world may be in turmoil, but we can live with a victory. We can live with peace, we can live with joy, we can live with good cheer because our eyes are on Jesus. Pray for those who are looking out and seeing the fog, and the fog is all that they can see. No wonder they're miserable. No wonder they're scared. No wonder they're full of anger and hatred and all kinds of things. But be grateful that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, can look out and see a bright light in the middle of the fog and in the middle of the darkness. And that bright light is Jesus. That bright light is Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the relationship that you have with Jesus. Keep your eyes on him and you'll walk in victory. You'll walk in victory. Keep your eyes on the goal. And know that he that began the good work in you is going to keep on working in you until he calls you home, or until the trumpet blows and he comes and gets us all. Again, I say, if you're here not and listening to me and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful time to do it. So that you might begin to walk in victory. You might begin to walk in peace. Yes, there's tribulation. There's darkness all around. Peter didn't say, there are no waves, there are no waves. There is no wind, there is no wind. But as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was making it. We don't say there is no COVID, there is no COVID, there is no COVID. There is no problem, there are no problems. But when we have our eyes on Jesus and know that in him there's an overcoming power, oh, we keep our eyes on the light and we walk in blessing. We walk in blessing in the darkness. We walk in blessing in the fog. Take the wood off of the fire that builds up your stresses and keep your eyes on Jesus. And you're going to make it. You're going to be blessed. And when those unsaved folks look at you and say, how come you have so much peace? I'm so stressed out and you're so much full of peace. How do you do that? It's because the greater one lives in me. The one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who is the God of that created this world lives in me. And He gives me peace. May that be true for every person that's listening to me today. Father, I thank You that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank You that one day there's going to be a trumpet blast and He's going to come and call His people home. But I thank You, Father, that in the middle of a world that's full of tribulation, we can live in peace, we can live with cheer, because Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus, and He has overcome the world. We didn't overcome it. He overcame the world. He's defeated sin. He has the keys to hell and the grave. He has the keys, and we are in Him. Thank You, Father, for the wonderful victory that we have because of Jesus. And I pray, Father, for every person that's listening today, that they might receive Your peace. They might walk in Your peace. They might walk in Your confidence. They might walk in Your victory. And Lord, when we stumble, when we take our eyes off Jesus, and we cry out, help us, Lord. Thank You that You reach out just like Jesus reached out and took Peter's hand. Thank You that You reach out and take our hand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.